from the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of April 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois will join us too. We'll check to see whether he's up and in the cab this afternoon planting corn. That may or may not be the case. We'll find out a bit later. We'll also check in with the agricultural weather. We'll have Mike Tenora here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Not once, but twice. The first time around, actually, will be from a class he taught yesterday here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois related to commodity marketing and how you use the weather to look forward into the growing season. What he actually sees for this year. And it'll all happen right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. We are now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
Are you there in Waco, or are you further south today?
No, I'm in Waco, at least for a few weeks. We're going to go back down south again later on in May, but at least for right now, I'm up here in Waco trying to do some landscaping work. I had a lot of dirt hauled in last year, and I'm trying to get all that leveled out and tore up and maybe get a good seed of grass growing. If I can't do that, I guess I'll haul in the sod.
One's as expensive as the other sometimes, because you have to, well, you're on a well, I'm sure, so you won't have to pay for the water at that point. Let's turn your attention directly to the marketplace for the afternoon. It's been a pretty interesting couple of weeks. When you look forward into the next several weeks, do you see a trend lower or a trend higher for corn and soybeans?
Well, I think the overall trend is going to still want to stay higher as we go on into May. But in the near term here, we're in a corrective mode that may last yet for a few more days before it kind of finds decent support. I think, you know, fundamentally, basically, the way I see it, was driving it, of course, is basically a change in the weather pattern. Most of the computer models now are indicating that we're going to kind of go back to something more normal, warmer weather, a little drier weather than what we've been experiencing. And that's going to allow some planting windows at least to open up in the lower half of the Corn Belt. I'm not too sure what that, you know, forecast ahead is going to do to the far northern part of the Corn Belt where you were last year, and how long it's going to take them to maybe get into position to do some active planting. But at least I think in the lower half of the Corn Belt and the eastern Corn Belt, we're going to begin to see some planting take place, and that's kind of where the marketplace is at. It's kind of hard to keep a market this time of year trending higher if the planters or if the tractors are going to start rolling with planters hooked onto them. So I kind of think that's kind of where we're at in the marketplace right now.
What kind of range do you have for corn that you're looking at this time?
Well, corn, the way I'm kind of looking at corn, it really needs to kind of hold on December corn here. It kind of really needs to hold this $4 area. I think if we would start popping underneath the 404, 405 area, I think that would begin to at least bring in some new technical selling. And then we'd probably have a quick move back into this 395 area. And then, of course, then we would probably be then talking about maybe testing that low that we had there during all of the tariff talk which was somewhere around March 23rd or so. So corn's at a situation, at least where I look at it technically, it's a little vulnerable. It needs to kind of catch in here and show some upward movement, preferably see a little higher move tomorrow, and then maybe the weather maps are such that we're not going to see much planting activity take hold, and then maybe the corn market could maybe take off and move a little higher as we go into the late April, early May time frame. But it's real vulnerable in here looking at the technical side of a quick loss of a dime or so, and then we'll kind of go from there.
I know we have Argentina and the short crop that's already built into the marketplace and pricing, but does it surprise you that soybeans have remained as strong as they are given the supply of beans in the United States and the idea, at least to begin with, that we'll continue to hold such a large supply through the next marketing year?
Well, that may be the case, that we'll continue to hold us a large supply, but I think there's at least on the surface, depending upon how the rest of the planting season goes. I mean, that's going to be key. And of course, we'll see what June, July, and August is probably going to be more important to soybeans than anything. But remember, the market doesn't necessarily trade near-term fundamentals. Now, the market decides to trade what it wants to trade. Some days it'll trade the near-term fundamentals. The next day it may be trading the visuals of maybe a much smaller production number and smaller ending stocks levels as we look forward down the road, maybe 9 months or maybe 18 months down the road. So the market kind of wants to trade what it wants to trade when it wants to trade it. So I think what the market has been somewhat trading is still the planting intentions number was a little smaller than what the trade was looking at. Demand has been still very, very strong. Even today, we had very strong export sales for both old and new crop. So I think demand is probably the key factor that's holding the soybean market up. Plus, that is where all shorts are. That is where farmers, I think, are very aggressively sold in that market at levels actually below this current level. Some of them, I think, are out maybe as much as 50 cents already. Some of them maybe only out 25 cents. Some could be out 75 cents. But that is where the shorts are at. And I don't necessarily say anything bad about farmers wanting to lock in a profit, because I do understand all of the noise that we have outside with tariffs and large supplies and 95% of the market advisors are telling them that they need to market these $10 soybeans, and you got every banker in the world that loans money telling them to market $10 soybeans. So it's, you know, but that's what I see is that farmers are pretty well sold up on beans at this point. They're out of old crop beans. The transfer of ownership from the small guy to the big guy has pretty well taken place. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't find a farmer here or there that has some old crop soybeans, but the vast majority of old crop soybeans have already been transferred into commercial hands, and then a large percentage of the new crop has already been transferred. So in order for this market now to get to go down, it's hard to get new farmers selling to kind of push this thing down, and that's what it would really want to take. Probably what you would see is liquidation from the speculative crowd, whether it's going to be the fund crowd or just the long, big speculative funds that trade both sides of the market. Then you would maybe get some liquidation there. But I think a lot of it has been that it's oversold, and the demand has stayed real strong. And as long as demand stays as strong as it is, I think it's real difficult to get a market to go down.
We'll talk with you again in one more week. Hey, thanks, Dan. We appreciate it.
All right. Very well.
That, of course, Dan Zwicker with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, yesterday afternoon, the House Ag Committee passed the Agriculture and Nutrition Act of 2018, H.R. 2, otherwise known as the Farm Bill, that on a partisan 26-20 vote, Democrat members of the committee expressed frustration over the bill, while committee chairman Mike Conaway of Texas, a Republican, noted his disappointment in his colleagues from the other side of the aisle by saying they'd turned their backs on America's heartland.
I think the American people will be better understanding of it. The longer it goes on, the more opportunity we have to talk to them about what it really does, as opposed to much of the misinformation that was provided yesterday during testimony from the Democrats. And I think they will come to understand that they didn't have it quite right either. And when that happens, maybe we can come together and get 435 votes on the Farm Bill.
Democrats had halted talks over the objection to requiring work-capable adults to either find employment or receive free training for 20 hours per week. Committee ranking member Colin Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, noted in his opening remarks that he'd told the chairman in their first meeting back in December that because of how Republican leadership handled SNAP amendments in 2013, his colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle would not trust anything that appeared to be driven by ideology. The Farm Bill will now move to the House floor, where the acrimony is likely to continue. House Speaker Paul Ryan, a Republican from Wisconsin, has championed the food stamp plan, which dovetails with his agenda to reform welfare programs. However, Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi of California said Wednesday that her party could not support what she called a radical, harmful bill. For his part, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue stated that as the bill heads to the floor, I hope the House recognizes the long-term certainty it provides for America's farmers, just as it preserves nutrition programs for people who need help feeding themselves and their families. On the Senate side, Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a Republican of Kansas, and Ranking Member Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan, indicated in a joint statement that they're working together as quickly as possible to produce a bipartisan bill that could pass the Senate and then be enacted into law. House Ag Committee member Jim Costa, a Democrat of California, indicated Wednesday that the Senate is currently working on a bipartisan farm bill and is his hope and belief that eventually they'd be able to reach a bipartisan policy agreement that could pass in both chambers and that the president could sign. The Texas Republican, Conaway, who chairs the committee, says he's hoping to bring the bill to the floor of Congress in May. One other ag news story for the day, this one from Politico about TPP, a declaration last week from President Donald Trump announcing that he had instructed two of his top advisors to consider rejoining the Trans-Pacific Partnership, normally would have thrilled exporters, sent stocks soaring, and prompted corporate strategists to run to their spreadsheets to calculate the impact. But none of that really happened, largely because diplomats and investors are settling on a strategy to deal with his rapidly shifting statements. That strategy, apparently, is to just ignore the upfront bluster. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. We know the late start to the growing season in the Corn Belt and the Northern Plains has farmers and traders worried. But as a commodity marketing class at the University of Illinois found out this week, there's much more to be learned from the data. This 400-level agricultural college class, taught by Scott Irwin, includes guest lectures by Illinois alum involved in price discovery. In this case, Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. He's teaching them about how the weather and the markets work together. Right now, he tells them, is a good example of a weather market. The cold, the snowstorms, the damp air has not allowed farmers from Ohio to North Dakota to really begin the planting season.
In an ideal world, you would plant all your corn and all your soybeans in a very timely manner, have all that wrapped up sometime in the middle of May. But just given where we are today, if it turns out to be wet in that first week or two of May, then everybody's going to fall behind.
And everyone knows it. The trick is to find and use the weather data, which might help determine what the whole of this growing season could be like. Tenora says this April will be one of the three coldest on record in the United States Corn Belt. There have been seven similar years since 1960, or the modern corn-growing era. Corn yields fell short in six of the seven.
Well, the detrended yield for 2018 is right around 171 bushels per acre. Most of those years had yields between 166 and 170. One of the worst years was 1983. That was an outlier, though. We don't think that's one to focus on, but that one was much lower in the 140s.
Again, those are detrended yields, which puts them on an even footing with today. The point is that this crop season is cold, wet, and late. If it stays that way, and the odds now favor late, then chances are very good that corn yield will be below the trend line. Let's turn our attention now to the cash side of the marketplace. Matt Bennett is here. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, where he farms and works as well. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. Are you in the tractor or in the office this afternoon?
Yeah, we're not quite in the field yet. We are getting fairly close. You know, last week, with those warm days at the end of the week, we got pretty close and got another inch of rain. This sun that we've had the last couple, 3 days really changed things around a little bit. So we're kind of hoping maybe on Saturday we can try everything out, make sure everything's going to run good on maybe some tiled ground, and then maybe hit it hard there next week as long as the weather holds.
Now, I've been talking just a bit with a few farmers around the state. Sounds like some of the biggest of the farmers have begun to move. I take it they're probably worried about open days and trying to get it all planted. I'm suggesting at this point that that's probably not a concern for you if you actually get started on Saturday.
No, I mean, if we would get started on Saturday, you know, I would think that the way this is all shaping up, we could be done in a week pretty easily with everything we want to get planted, both corn and beans. But there'll be a couple, three fields, river bottoms and whatnot that we'll leave to a little bit later, most likely. But, you know, I'm still a bit concerned about soil temperature. We're showing about 45 degrees at the warmest today. And so, you know, it's probably a little bit cool for me yet, but definitely the ground's going to be working just a little bit better than what it would have been any time previously coming up here in the next few days.
Yeah, getting the ground dried up. There's one thing, you're planting into cold soil temperatures is one thing. Kind of planting into a cold, wet soil is probably an entirely different thing, I would suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely concerns you a little bit. I mean, I think any farmer will tell you that getting the corn to come up in a matter of a week to 10 days is much preferable to a 3-week window, because a lot of times when you don't get it up for 3 to 4 weeks, you know, you end up having uneven emergence, which any agronomist will fill you in. We all know it's going to cost you a fair amount of yield.
What do you think about the markets this week so far?
Well, it's been kind of boring, you know, for the most part. We really haven't had a whole lot of enthusiasm anyway. I think corn market, some of the forecasts are still saying, you know, we may get some rain in other parts of the country. You know, it looks like central Illinois may actually get lucky here for the next 10 days, but only time will tell there. But I think that's part of the reason the corn market's supported. You know, export sales are pretty good for both corn and beans. Both kind of shrugged them off, though. You look at the beans being lower. It's probably a function of at this time of year, if we do have weather, you know, the assumption is going to be that those corn acres are going to switch back over to soybeans on some acres. We just can't really afford to lose a whole lot of corn acres. We really can't afford to pick up too many bean acres. So be interesting moving forward, kind of how that all pans out.
How many bean acres do you think would be available to pick up in total?
Oh, I don't know. You might be able to get over 90, but I don't, you know, there's still a fair amount of skepticism. Are we actually at 177, or were they a little bit low on the March planting intentions? So, you know, if the true number was 89, I think you pick up a million acres fairly easily. A part of that I'm saying, though, is because in some of your spring wheat acres, those acres may come into beans. I think some of your fringe areas on corn, it's not a hard decision whenever you've still got 1042 soybeans basis the nove, you know, versus 407D's corn. It's not a hard decision if you get pushed out of your optimal planting window to go ahead and switch back over to beans.
Hey, thanks so much. That, of course, is Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenura is here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start with the snowstorm in the Midwest that came through last night, and I think it may still be having some remnants there today.
Well, it's bright and sunny out this afternoon, so the storm is long gone, and now we're just going to be waiting for all of the snow to melt. We had the big snow last night in parts of Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, and northern Iowa. And we also had that huge blizzard over the course of last weekend. But these big snowstorms are now a thing of the past.
So when we look forward, I'm hearing that there are several open days, but it's going to take a while to get rid of the snow. Can you put all of that in context?
Well, temperatures are going to warm up quite a bit once we get about a week out from now. Until then, temperatures will still be below normal, but normal high temperatures today are generally in the 50s in the northern Corn Belt and the 60s in the southern Corn Belt. So we'll be a little bit cooler than normal, but that's much warmer than what it has been. Highs over the last 2 to 3 weeks have mostly been in the 30s and 40s, or around 10 to 15 degrees below normal every single day. So this change is still a little bit cool compared to historical normals, but much warmer than where we've been, and that'll be enough to quickly melt away that snowpack over the next 5 to 7 days.
So we get the snowpack away, we start to thaw the ground out, maybe a few planters begin to roll, and then we get 10 days out. What happens at that point?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty there. We know it will be warmer. This exceptionally cold pattern is coming to an end. So as we go forward, although it might not be completely warm out every day, it won't be this historic level of coldness that we've seen lately. But with that warmer pattern comes a number of storm systems. The setup coming up here in 10 to 14 days is hard to figure out. About the only thing we do know is that the jet stream is going to be lined up fairly close to the U.S. and temperatures will be warmer. Typically, when you put those two features together, you produce rain. So at this point in time, we have to conclude that it's going to turn a little bit wetter in 10 to 14 days from now. That will be around the first 5 days of May. Now, of course, if that does happen, that would become a problem for planting across a big chunk of the central U.S. If it doesn't happen, then we might be able to start making up for some of the delays that we've had over the last week, and especially over the upcoming week. It's a little too far off right now to say, though. We think there'll be near normal rainfall at the very least, which is kind of in that middle ground there where it's not a clear-cut dry story, but it's also not a clear-cut wet story.
Earlier in this program, we heard a portion of what you had to tell the students in Scott Irwin's commodity marketing class yesterday about the correlation between a very cold April and yields for corn across the Midwest. Have you been digging deeper into that over the last 24 hours?
Well, the only additional information that we've come up with is that this April is going to go down as number one or number two coldest since 1895. That's pretty rare territory to be in. And if you isolate out the very five coldest Aprils since 1895 and look at what happened in the summers that followed, well, rainfall didn't really tell us a whole lot. Rainfall was pretty close to normal in June, July, and August of those very cold April years. But temperatures were a different story. In four of those 5 years, temperatures were below normal across the Corn Belt in June, in July, and again in August. That means those summers were persistently cool after the extremely cold Aprils, of which we're experiencing one now. So we'll see if that correlation holds true. This is just what the history tells us. And keep in mind, most of that happened in the earlier part of the 20th century. We haven't really seen anything like this in at least 57 years in 1861.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Great being here, Todd, as always.
That, of course, Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.